Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And that means you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast for all the latest news, notes, and everything that Jeff and I, the Jersey Wrecking Crew, are up to. Jeff, it's been a while since we did the last show. It's great to have you back. Not really, but I'll say it anyway. You know, we're getting closer to Fastlane here. And, you know, Raw and SmackDown are pivotal components to obviously leading in and giving the anticipation to the last pay-per-view, thank God, till WrestleMania starts. And you and I are saying that so much because we're counting down the road to WrestleMania. Forget the commercials. We're marking it down on our calendar. But one of the most exciting things happened during a dark match, which we'll get into in a few seconds. But first and foremost, for my tag team partner and one half of the Jersey Wrecking Crew, Jeff, how are you today?
Wow, I think your intros on me just keep getting more shadier and shadier the way you
just shut up
all that
and
hate
say hello
towards me, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I'm doing good, man. A little sore, and that's just because that you have got me working out at 5 o'clock in the morning now, and I think it's on me because I think it works with my schedule. And I think the worst thing about it is trying to wake up. Once you're up, I think everything, you know, just gets better. And I think I've been working out pretty well. And I think it's all because I'm in WrestleMania mode. And, you know, Fastlane can't get here quick enough.
Yeah, no pun intended, right?
You know, I'm funny and I don't try to be funny intentionally. So,
well, that's what you wanted to be. You wanted to be natural, right? But no, you're right, Jeff. I mean, I think not only you, but myself, I've got to admit, with my ugly mug, I'm trying to hit the gym a little bit more to try to, you know, get myself in shape because, you know, if we're going to go be going around Orlando, Miami,
out,
all the places, we have to, you know, look our physical best. Plus, it's for me, it's always been a thing that I'm training for WrestleMania as if I'm actually going to be in it. You know, so that's the little
kid. And you
want to
buy yourself a sports jacket, though, too, right? You also want to get a little sports jacket thing going
on.
Yeah,
we want to do a little schmoozing. I mean, we'll speak into all the people we've had on the show, guys. You know, Brian Fritz, you know, Nick Mayberry will be on as well. Who else?
Scotty Fishman.
Yes.
Scotty Too Hottie, we call him.
Scotty Too Hottie. I can't believe I forgot him, too. So a lot of people, too, will be around to try to kind of do a talking shop segment as we're there. But again, it's going to be extremely busy. So part of me is looking forward to it, but also part of me is trying to build the stamina because Jeff, you and I are going to be really, really busy around that time anyway. So we're going to be running around, you know,
like
schmoozing and trying to make the rounds with all the people we need to make the rounds
with.
We're
like on no sleep now. Imagine when we get there to Orlando. We're going to be on absolutely 0% sleep.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
I think it's bad now.
Yeah, I'm in trouble. You, on the other hand, I don't know. But
you know who can never get in trouble?
Who?
The Rock.
Yes, he can never get in trouble. Because how are you going to punish him? He's not really a full licensed contract guy. He basically comes, probably signs like a waiver form or something, gets paid. So what are they going to really do? And I guess what Jeff's alluding to, a great segue, by the way, Jeff, you're becoming a pro
that
at those.
I waited till you said trouble. And then that's when I said, you know what? You know who can't get in trouble? The Rock.
No, he
can't. And let's be honest, man. Like you said, he's not contracted by the WWE.
He's not a full-timer.
Yeah, you know, right? Amazing he pops up at this time of season. But,
yeah.
You know, you can't really do anything to him because, like you said, he's not under contract. And he's The Rock. He's, you know, the everything right now in movies. And,
I'm sure Vince doesn't like to hear that because in Vince's mind, nobody's bigger than the business.
Yeah, well, listen, sorry to say it, but The Rock is. So, honestly, and what we're alluding to is, I guess, Monday Night Raw. Well, not I guess. I know Monday Night Raw was at the Staples Center. And I guess this past Monday night, they were shooting a movie on the Family of Page. I guess The Rock is producing that. And
yeah, it's pretty interesting when I heard about that for the mere fact they're using the certain events there to get, obviously, the live crowd atmosphere. I get it. But
Never
knew why this project came about. I mean, if it's The Rock doing it, then there has to be some purpose behind it, of course. Not just because it's
him. I guess he liked the family story of Paige, I guess.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to see what the finished product is going to be. We've seen the actresses that have been playing, for example, Paige. It's going to be interesting to see how this all turns out, to see if, you know, it's a small parody or it's something that's being, you know, legitimately used for that purpose.
No, I think WWE Studios is behind it. And I think that that's
we know how great WWE Studios does in terms of their production.
The Rock's behind it. It's going to get a little bit more play. You know what I mean? So if something that The Rock is behind, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to say Rock and this movie, and they're going to give it a shot. And I think Thea Trinidad plays AJ Lee, in the movie, and I guess it's not the same kind of look AJ Lee. She kind of looked like Nikki Bella there with the wardrobe that she wore. But you know, Thea Trinidad is very beautiful, and she'll definitely do a good job. But not kind of dressed in the same attire as AJ Lee. And you know, where does actually that make the connection? And let's talk about The Rock. Actually called CM Punk in the middle of the ring and was trying to FaceTime at first and then tried calling his cell phone, put him on speaker, got the voicemail, and basically after that the crowd was chanting CM Punk. The crowd was hot for it, and left the voicemail and talked about the 15,000 people yelling CM Punk, the crowd's yelling CM Punk. CM Punk later, you know, tweeted back saying he was walking his dog Larry, it was his birthday, and also too that he says thank you to the fans. So that's got to not make Vince McMahon and Triple H happy in the back there. I mean, they're in court litigation with CM Punk, and they had to be a little bit upset with The Rock. I mean, how would you feel if that happened?
I would definitely be annoyed, but again, I can't put myself in Vince McMahon's shoes.
Isn't that big of a deal?
I think it's a big of a deal from the inner workings if you're working for the WWE. Yes, it is. You just mentioned they're in litigation right now. They really don't want to be marketing or even drawing attention to it. Now, granted, there was a moment where Stephanie McMahon drew attention to CM Punk when they started changing his name. Then she made the reference in the joke that he only lasted about, what, 3 or 4 10-second in the octagon compared to Brock Lesnar lasting a few minutes with Goldberg. So, yeah, they will draw attention to it and notice it, but in their own way. I think when The Rock comes out, we both know The Rock doesn't go by script. He just goes out there and does whatever he wants. That's been his moniker for so many years. I think he just went with it. But here's the thing. I think it's a bigger deal. They're making a bigger deal just because everybody has social media. Everybody can film it and it gets out there. But I don't think it's that big of a deal in my opinion per se, because this wasn't like it was on Raw and he was getting that free TV publicity.
Yeah.
So to me, yeah, I can understand Vince's gripe with it. But at the same time, what are you going to do, Vince? That's the risk you get when you put somebody like The Rock, not bad-mouthing him, but when he goes out there and goes off script, he's going to do whatever he wants to do to entertain the crowd, and that was just perfect timing. I kind of give more credit to The Rock having the balls to do that, because I don't know if I would do that if I was him. But again, you mentioned before, he's a movie star now. He doesn't really need the WWE. The WWE needs him.
And what are the chances that The Rock actually knows the storylines and he knows actually what's really going on and how bad the rift is between CM Punk and Vince McMahon and Triple H? Maybe he doesn't even know it's that bad. I'm sure he knows, but he doesn't know that it's that bad, you know? But still, though, it's crazy. I mean, The Rock's done it before, too, when he went down and he talked to those people dressed up as Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man, and I think that was pretty funny, too, when the WWE specifically put them off camera, you know, off the hard camera. So I think that was pretty funny, too. So The Rock's had a it hasn't been his first go-around with this. But I think what angers McMahon is just, you know, them chanting or saying anything positive about CM Punk. Now, like you said, Stephanie McMahon, you know, jabbed at him, and I think that's okay. But,
Jeff, it would just be drawing attention to the 800-pound elephant in the room. This is never going to go away. We're still going to get chants. Now, they're not as much as they were the moment where Punk actually left, and there's that entire controversy of what had happened, what was said, what was the real story behind it. But you still hear chants of CM Punk every now and then, so it's not going to go away. But
it's been 3 years almost, too, right?
Yeah, it's almost been that long, and it's not going to go away. But I see it from both perspectives. But if you were to ask me, do I think it's that big of a deal? No, because despite the fact they're in litigation and they're going through the whole court hearings and blah, 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 and all that stuff, you know, it has been the first time the WWE has gone in litigation and legal battle with guys like Hulk Hogan, guys like The Ultimate Warrior, possibly Bret the Hitman Hart. I'm not trying to compare CM Punk to these athletes or these, you know, Hall of Famers, but, you know, cooler heads prevail at the end. And before you know it, Vince will, you know, all the veins in his neck will go away and he'll relax and he'll move on. Because, you know, if you dwell on it, that's not Vince. So he'll be mad and he'll move on. And I'm sure it's not the last we see The Rock, but if he does appear again, whether it be for WrestleMania since it is in Florida, who knows, maybe they'll say simmer down a little bit. But again, if you're The Rock, you have nothing to lose and you have nothing to fear anyway.
And one closing thing here, if this was Green Bay, Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't care as much. But if it's L.A., the Staples Center, I think that's where, you know, another thing also, too.
I think it would have been cooler if he did in Chicago, Illinois. If he was actually in Chicago, how cool would that have been? The crowd would have gone nuts. There would have been chance CM Punk to the roof blew off.
And so, Well, The Rock, you know, maybe a slap on the wrist or anything like that. But, you know, Vince loves The Rock, and, you know, they'll patch up. There's no way that they're going to turn down any big money that The Rock can, you know, bring them any which way he can. But, you know, our attention also.
Of course not. He's a Hall of Famer, Jeff. He's a bona fide future Hall of Famer.
The people's champion.
He is.
Yeah, and on the other turnaround, though, we had sad news this past week with the passing of, you know, George the Animal Steel, a legend, and also Ivan Koloff. And, you know, wow, just crazy, man. Like, a lot of legends, you know, just, you know, passing away. And it's, you know, it's really, it makes you think, it makes you think of your childhood. Like, a little time something like this happens, you know, you feel more and more like your childhood slips away.
That's part of it. Also, the mere fact that you become really more known as we get older, obviously, about our own mortality. Not to bring this on a down note or anything like that, because we are remembering, you know, these terrific superstars and what they did in the business and how they were trailblazers as well. But also, like you said, a piece of your childhood goes away, like you mentioned, Jeff, so well. Yeah, because we grew up watching these individuals. But also makes you realize, too, that, you know, nothing is ever guaranteed. And it's never a great time to hear certain things like this happening. There's never a great time to hear someone passing. But specifically now, we're leaning towards WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame. I mean, around this time, we get to remember the greats. And we get to relive and see some of the greats again. So, you know, for example, George the Animal Steel and Ivan Koloff, it's like, yeah, they're going to be etched in history. They're going to live on forever. But I really feel sad for the families that have to obviously deal with these scenarios, because it's never a good process. It's never a great process. So I just hope and our condolences are sent out to them, because it's a time right now of mourning. But also, I feel more than ever, and it's cliche when we say it, but it should be celebration too, because these guys are going to live on forever in the WWE Network. And, you know, people know who George the Animal Steel is. So they're not going to be forgotten anytime soon.
Yeah, and of course, also not to mention the passing of Nicole Bass. Now, what's sad about that is, like, she didn't get to the level of, you know, most of the females out there, but she, you know, on the independent scene and
she left her mark,
ECW,
though.
WWE, left her mark, man. And just to me, the really sad part is, which is with the whole bullying thing, my aspect too, you know, like, you know, when New China came out, didn't look the prototypical female, and, you know, she probably hurt a lot in her career, and, you know, the snickering behind her back, and also too, she was also a regular on the Howard Stern show. So, you know, just the fact that maybe she was way too much, a little bit of the butt of everyone's jokes, which was a sad thing. But again, also too, her place in wrestling history, though, too, she was a WWE superstar at one time, and, you know, also too, we can't forget about her as she also passed this past week. But, you know, when I'm thinking of George Animal Steel, you got to think of the rivalry towards WrestleMania 3. When you know, when he got involved with Elizabeth and the Macho Man and that whole angle, and, you know, that's just classic wrestling, man. Classic 80s wrestling that you remember, like, oh yeah, man, I remember all that stuff that led to this. Just simple storytelling, and, you know, George Animal Steel, I'll remember him, you know, biting the turnbuckle off, and, you know, and just in taking it off, and just the green tongue. Man, it's just crazy. Like, you know, you wonder if those kind of characters would exist nowadays, but back then, man, scary, scary guy. Scary guy. Oh my God, I also remember on Tuesday Night Titans when he was actually sitting down, he was getting like electrodes zapped.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, I remember that.
Oh, I mean, just classic, some great.
And the terrible
sketches,
doctor,
man.
And that terrible voice, like, now we're going to examine the I asked you a series of questions, and it was just terrible. But again, that was classic wrestling back then.
Classic 80s, you know. And again, he's a name that, you know, everyone knows, stand the test of time. And again, Hall of Famer, you know, and, you know, the best goes out to, you know, just all the Hall of Famers that passed away, their families. You know, we lost classic the week before, Chavo Guerrero Sr. So, I mean, you know, just
And Ivan Koloff, too. And Ivan Koloff, too. Doesn't I exclude him as well? Because I think he was at that time.
I can pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you couldn't pronounce his name. But again, during those times in the 80s, I mean, everything was so strict on the Cold War as well. So, you know, the mere fact that somebody was coming from the Soviet Union or Russia, you know, we're still having issues with that at this time and day in society. But even then, it was more personal, because, wow, you know, that's, to me, the best you can get when you're from another country and everybody hates it. So, to me, Ivan Koloff also deserves a lot of respect and recognition for what he's done. I don't really remember him so much of what he's done on promos or what he's done in the ring, but again, he's a name that does come to mind when I think of the past of wrestling that you and I used to watch.
I know, and again, heartfelt and serious condolences go out to the families of legends that we've lost this past week. And, you know, they will definitely be remembered.
The forefather to Rusev, Jeff, you know what I mean? When Rusev was,
you know,
Russian at that point.
You never know. So never know. Hopefully, as you know, with WrestleMania Hall of Fame weekend and stuff, we'll definitely remember them. But, Brian, you know.
Well, speaking of Hall of Fame real quick, Jeff, didn't mean to interrupt you, though I really did. You know, another addition to the Hall of Fame. Finally, it's me. It's me. It's DDP. Gets himself inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Well deserved. And just real quick, Jeff, I don't want to get your take on it, too. This goes by somebody, you know. Diamond Dallas Page was at 35 years old, decided he wanted to do pro wrestling. Did it so late, and everybody said he had no chance. So for me, I not only get inspiration from him of not what he's done in his career, because he's accomplished a lot. He was kind of a people's champion as well, if we want to start talking about The Rock, as we spoke about earlier. But again, what he's done outside the ring, you know, with DDP Yoga, that's something that I do, and he saved so many other wrestlers' careers, including like Chris Jericho, Kevin Nash, Jake Roberts, AJ Styles had a back injury as well. So he's done been such a big influence in what he's done outside the ring more than anything else, in my opinion, though, although he's got great accomplishments from his in-ring performances. To me, well, long overdue for DDP. I'm so happy that he's actually in the Hall of Fame. I'm looking forward to that speech.
I know, and we'll see who wants to, you know, who's going to give that speech. I think DDP mentioned he wants Jake the Snake to do it. And, you know, when I think of DDP, yes, I think about, you know, his WCW run. Yes, you know, at the age. And the funny thing is, I think the Greek actually was mentioning us and saying how pretty soon, one day, they're going to call us to be tag team, the Jersey Wrecking Crew, for real. And I'm like, ah, dude, I'm too old. And then my coworker goes, ah, dude, DDP, he's 35 and he ain't, you know, started in the ring that late. And I was like, wow, touche. So it's never too late for anyone to live out their dream. But, you know, you think about his WCW run. You think about him winning the world title. Then you think about, you know, the whole him coming to WWE. And it kind of worked, but the whole Stalker thing I liked. And it would have gone well if had he beat The Undertaker at SummerSlam that year. But, wait, was it SummerSlam or King of the Ring, Bray?
I believe it was King of the Ring.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So if he would have been The Undertaker at King of the Ring, it might have gone better for DDP's future in WWE. But, you know, I think of more now as the years go by. Look what he's done to, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall, how he's turned their lives around. And that, to me, in itself is Hall of Fame worthy. Just, you know, the DDP yoga that I, you know, definitely got to get on, and the way it's changed a lot of people's lives, and the way he's become an entrepreneur and what he's done, definitely a Hall of Famer, man. There's no ifs or buts about it. Definitely has edged his mark, and definitely shows you that, you know, you pursue your dreams, you can achieve stuff. And not only that, but just, you know, how you can turn your life around with just exercises. And how he, you know, how he does it, and how he's mastered it in a way that, you know, a lot of the wrestlers are doing yoga, and it's just become a phenomenon now to do yoga, and how it, you know, helps the body recover, and how it helps it, you know, just in the aging process, because you can't do weights and heavy lifting all your life, you know. So, listen, congratulations to DDP, man, well deserved.
And speaking of Hall of Fame, Jeff, somebody who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. For what? I don't know. That sounds like the quote of a book, I think, but who knows?
So the beginning of a celebrity roast.
Yes, who knows, right? And it's great to have him on because we were able to have Sean Reuter from CageSideSeats.com, contributor to SB Nation, a writer, talks all sports entertainment. Anyway, people say sports entertainment. It's wrestling, folks. And Sean's definitely a huge wrestling fan. We love his work. We love the podcast he does as well. So we were able to get him on, too. And the great thing about this is we spoke about a lot of things, but what was on everybody's mind that Jeff and I discussed, too, is what did Sean think about the whole Rock scenario when he tried to call CM Punk on the phone in front of the audience after Raw, obviously not on TV, and was it a bigger deal, was it not? So we had those types of questions. We had Sean come on, basically break down Fastlane and kind of get an idea and a sense of his mind where all these storylines are kind of interconnecting and maybe some possible returns or non-returns for certain people too. So we had Sean on, he graced us with his time, and basically this is how it started. All right, Jeff, excited to have our next guest on here as well. I mean, if you guys don't know who he is, then what are you guys doing, living under a tree? I mean, geez, get it
under
together,
a rock,
guys.
For God's sakes.
We already talked about The Rock and what he did, but we'll ask actually our guest what he thought about The Rock and what he did when he introduced CM Punk and did that whole thing after Raw, which was hilarious and we thought wasn't a big deal. His name's Sean Reuter. You guys can hear his podcast on CageSideSeats.com as well. He's a contributor, writer for SB Nation as well. If you guys want to catch him on Twitter, you can catch him at S1 Rude. Like Bobby Rude or Rick Rude? I don't know. One of the two. We'll ask him about that. But Sean, thank you so much for coming on. We're really excited about WrestleMania and Fastlane. To me, I just can't wait for Fastlane to be over. But first and foremost, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor for us to have you on, too. What I wanted to first talk to you about was, I mean, what did you think when you heard what had happened at Raw in Los Angeles when The Rock came out and basically called CM Punk and tried to FaceTime him and tried to put him on speakerphone, and the whole rumors that Vince McMahon was really upset about it? Do you think in your mind it was that big of a deal, or was more The Rock just being The Rock?
I think it's The Rock being The Rock. I mean, this guy is, I don't know, you get with internet fans, there's a couple of camps on The Rock, right? I'm pro Dwayne Johnson all the way. I've been a fan of the guy for a long time. Some people are kind of tired of his act at this point, but I thought this was the perfect use of him because he's not taking up TV time, so it's a nice treat for the people in L.A. And then he gets a lot of buzz for himself, for the movie he's shooting that he's producing, and for the WWE. So, you know, Vince and Triple H probably weren't crazy about it, especially sort of once it started to go viral, but I don't think they're that upset either. I mean, it's a nice little piece of publicity. I don't think it makes them look too bad. So I loved it. I thought it was a great – it's just like you said, it's The Rock being The Rock. I mean, nobody else can just get in there and sort of improv on the mic and get everybody talking for the next week about, you know, a little bit he ran.
Plus, Sean, he's The Rock. I mean, he's the hottest thing going right now, and WWE is not going to, you know – bite their nose, bite their face with The Rock. You know what I mean? They're just going to be like, listen, you know, man, I want you. We only want you in Orlando. Man, I want you to bring stuff up like this. But you know what? What are they going to do? I mean, The Rock kind of holds all the cards here, you know? And so, you know, especially with this movie that he's going to do with his name behind it, it's probably going to do very well. But as we shift to Raw, you know, start off, I think one of the best parts about Raw was that Kevin Owens was Kevin Owens again. He's the guy from NXT that beat up his best friend Sami Zayn, and yes, the guy can do it all as far as comedy. You want him to do comedy, he'll do comedy. You want him to be serious, he'll be serious. Your thoughts? I like this Kevin Owens. My question to you is, wouldn't it be bad if they're making him this heelish and this strong again, only to lose to Goldberg at Fastlane?
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you here too. There's a lot of things that, you know, so-called smart marks are upset about as we head to WrestleMania. I mean, that goes with the game. Everybody.
Let me just clarify this. We are not smart marks.
About something. Yeah, in general, however you want to, you know, internet fans, everybody, wrestling fans like to complain. We like to fantasy book. We like to pretend we know something else that we don't. But I would say, I mean, there's a lot of things that, of the rumors about the road to WrestleMania, there's a lot of things that a lot of people aren't happy about, but I think this is probably the one that I'm the least happy about, is this notion that they're going to put Goldberg over Owens, especially, like you said, after I think the stuff that he and Jericho did all year was fabulous, but it's not, yeah. it wasn't my vision for what I thought Kevin Owens' first title reign would be, because, I mean, I've been a fan of this guy before he signed with WWE, and this is the cold-hearted, backstabbing, you know, take no prisoners ass kicker that I've been waiting to kind of come back, and now he's finally back, and it's going to be to put over a 50-year-old guy who can only do three moves. So that's a little disappointing. It's not the story I would tell there.
Sean, I would say more than disappointed for me, because I've spoken about this with Jeff. I mean, Jeff has this huge thing, and so do I, about part-timers coming in and really taking, you know, spots and opportunities away from, you know, the guys who have worked and the girls who have worked all year to, you know, try to build up WrestleMania and to create these storylines to intrigue fans, and then these part-timers come in. Now, in terms of Goldberg, for example, what frustrates me the most is that, you know, I'm a huge fan of guys like, you know, Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, the Finn Balors, you know, even, maybe the smaller, not prototypical, what you think a WWE superstar might be. And I've always been told, you know, those guys, they're not believable. You know, who would believe that guy would be a champion? But then you bring in a 55-year-old Bill Goldberg to go over to me, I agree with you. I don't think the title reign of Kevin Owens has been up to par, but over a guy like Kevin Owens, I mean, that doesn't help him one bit, because ultimately Goldberg's not sticking around much longer, so aren't you doing more harm than good? And do you think that the whole Goldberg-Brock Lesnar thing needs the Universal title at this point?
Well, there's a lot of things I can – one thing is, I guess, I hear you. The part-timer thing is frustrating, but as I suppose at this point I've just decided to stop fighting that. It's clearly what they're going to do every year, right? I mean, that this is the time of year. That's what I was – one of the things I was alluding to is a lot of people do get upset, and rightfully so, that the people they've invested in all year sort of get pushed to the side or down the card a bit, or these guys that Vince McMahon and WWE thinks can, you know, help them get more pay-per-view buys or network subscriptions, I guess, now in the WrestleMania era to help get 100,000 people in the building. So I think that's sort of just the name of the game. So I've kind of, I mean, I've stopped getting quite as upset about that as I used to, but I do, it's a concern. The other thing, though, is that, you know, WWE, the story never ends. So in the short term, I think it doesn't help Kevin Owens a lot. In the long term, they can build him back up, and hopefully he gets to the point down the road where he's got a little bit more pull, and can make sure that he's not in these kind of matches. But for now, I mean, it's also not bad to be in a program with a guy as well thought of, or, you know, that Vince thinks as well of as Goldberg. So I mean, I'm on the fence a little bit here. I've made my peace with the fact that the part-timers rule this time of year. I'm not crazy about it, but I think Owens is a talented enough guy that he can get this back. Like we said, I mean, we just had sort of, you know, not our favorite title reign for him. And with one great segment with Chris Owens, that Festival of Friendship thing last week, all of a sudden people are all the way back in on him. So I have a lot of confidence in him to be able to flip the switch. And even though this isn't great for his career right now to do the job for Goldberg, that he'll turn that into something. He'll turn that into gold later. Does Goldberg Lesnar need the belt? It needs something, man, because I'm not excited about that match at all, even though I was shocked that I thought it was cool that they did the surprise thing at Survivor Series. But I, you know, people, they're talking about this match going on last in Orlando.
Oh, and, man, wow.
You know, that's, yeah, exactly. So,
haven't we learned from WrestleMania 20?
Yeah, I think, especially because whatever goodwill they had for Goldberg, where people were like, oh, it's kind of cool, he's a dad, and, you know, let's cheer for his kids, and I think that goodwill is gone. I think he's going to get booed at Fastlane against Owens, and I think people are going to tear that match apart at Mania. So, I guess it's, I understand why they're throwing the belt in there to try to make it feel more important, but I don't know that it helps. So
yeah, I think broadcast
story at this point I'm not in on, so...
I think, what they're doing with the titles, I think that Brock has to be a big win, just because, you know, yeah, the embarrassment at the Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble. I think the match, from what they're thinking, is it might need the Universal title so that matchup cancels out those two losses, or, you know, those two embarrassments for Brock, if he's going to have to, you know, he takes everything from Goldberg. So I think, you know, that's what I've come to realize if they go with that. But another guy that you talked about, when we talk about Kevin Owens and the booking as the champion, how about the booking for Braun Strowman? I'm enjoying him every week. He gets better. But when I look at a match like he had with the Big Show, I'm thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great for Big Show to kind of pass the torch at Mania than have this match now? I think Braun Strowman is impressive. I think he's got a bright future. But just your thoughts on Braun Strowman. Is he your cup of tea, or have you liked the way he's been booked? Your thoughts.
He is not somebody – I didn't think he was going to be my cup of tea. He's grown on me a lot. I got a lot of respect for both how they booked him and how he's come along to where he's showing some things where he's not just, you know, this – he's not like a Goldberg guy. He's not somebody who's an impressive specimen that's going to give you 5 minute matches tops. He's shown that he's, you know, willing to learn and work a little bit. All that said, though, I think the booking to make him look great and to make him look like a Raw main eventer has been really well done. And I think the fans are really buying into him. I think, and this sort of goes back to the Goldberg issue too, is that, I mean, the Fastlane match is Strowman versus Roman Reigns. And, you know, that, you know, there's all the jokes about making, you know, how Vince wants to make Roman look strong and that's his guy. And so I think, I think it's kind of weird that he had this big moment on a Raw instead of, you know, building towards some sort of, you know, showcase moment at Mania. I also think it's weird that, you know, I'd be pretty surprised if he beats Roman. They'll probably do some things to try to make both guys, you know, come out of it looking pretty good. But I think there's very little chance that Roman Reigns doesn't win that match at Fastlane, and then you've built Braun up with all this momentum, and then he loses before Mania, and then probably goes into some sort of multi-man match in Florida, and that's sort of an anti-climax a bit. And then,
yeah.
You know, like I was saying, I think, I mean, the other thing with Goldberg and Lesnar having the belt, you know, I can very clearly see that the plan might be for Brock to win the belt, and like you said, he gets some payback for making Goldberg look great, and then the next step is that Roman Reigns finally beats him one-on-one, which isn't going to make a lot of people happy.
And I could tell by the sound of your voice it wouldn't make you happy as well, and neither would I to see that, because for me, you know, the whole Roman Reigns experiment or experience, whatever you want to call it, has failed miserably, and I don't put a lot of knock on Roman because he's basically just doing his job.
Right.
He's doing what he's being told. It's more of the way the WWE wants to perceive it. First of all, we were behind him maybe, you know, 2 years ago at the Royal Rumble. They didn't want to pull the trigger on that. Then they ended up forcing him, force-feeding him down our throat. I mean, Jeff made a great point about, and you also made a great emphasis of how they're booking Braun Strowman, right? Braun Strowman isn't going out there and doing captivating promos. He's not going there and doing more than he needs to do, and just being a big guy. And unfortunately, they completely fell apart trying to do that, as I'm falling apart trying to say it, of Roman Reigns, because he's not a talker. He's not a guy who can go out there and sell a crowd into a building. I mean, they're trying to make him the next John Cena, which doesn't work. But moving on from that, though, because again, we kind of think that's what's going to happen. Roman Reigns will defeat Brock Lesnar in the near future for the Universal title. We know what happens there. I'm curious about this. I mean, it's been recently we heard that you know, Finn Balor had returned to NXT in an event, and he's still not medically cleared, which is kind of funny because he was in the ring doing some pretty physical stuff. So he's not physically cleared. I'm like, then why are you letting him out there? You know, Daniel Bryan's not medically cleared. You're not letting him take bumps. So
right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Finn Balor is someone who's curious because Jeff and I talked about it before we came on air. And we're like, you know, how interesting is that, that he's at NXT and he talks about regaining what he once had or what he lost? Could you see possibly maybe Finn Balor remaining in NXT? Because I feel if he gets brought up to the main roster now before WrestleMania, he's just going to get lost in the shuffle.
I agree. That's a curious – I mean, him showing back up at that NXT taping last night, and like you said, yeah, I mean, he's doing the sling blade. He's doing drop kicks. This was not just like a simple like –
Yeah, you know, that shoulder looks 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's interesting that you mentioned that. I think they've got a little bit too much invested in him to send him back to NXT kind of full term, but I think it might be an interesting way. Triple H has talked about, you know, trying to make NXT a full-fledged third brand and not just developmental, where maybe people would move from Raw to SmackDown, but maybe to NXT. It might. I mean, Finn is a guy who's very closely associated with that NXT brand. He's the guy that they sent out the end of house shows to, you know, deliver the rousing "We Are NXT" promos. I could see him maybe coming back for TakeOver Atlanta, like or Orlando, like you said, since he's going to – they're putting him on some house shows, I heard, for Raw before Mania, but they haven't quite any plans to bring him back to TV.
Yeah, and the later they wait to do it, Sean, right? The later they wait to do it, the more it's not going to make sense him coming back because, what, he was injured by Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is now injured. He's on the shelf. But now Seth Rollins is a babyface. He's not a heel anymore. So he has no history with anybody except maybe Samoa Joe, but there's no place for him to go right now because it seems like, you know, they're trying to set up Rollins with Triple H. We know, who knows what's going to happen. And the whole scenario with Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, I'm like, and Kevin Owens, what happens with him? It kind of makes sense, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, like I said, if he right now, the only other thing I could see him doing at Mania would be in one of those multi-man matches, like an Intercontinental Championship ladder match. They've done those the last couple of years, even though that's a SmackDown title now, or the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. But yeah, I don't think there's enough time to really build up his feud. Like I said, I was joking with somebody last night. Yeah, he should come back. Rollins is supposed to be on Raw this Monday to cut a big babyface promo about how he's coming back to get Triple H, maybe. Or at least update us on his injury, but it's supposed to be, I mean, it'd be a very good guy-y thing. So, it'd be, you know, Finn should want to get revenge on that guy, but it kind of doesn't work right now because unless they're going to turn Balor. I don't think there's any place for him right now. So NXT might be the way to showcase him and get some buzz back on that brand.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, too, because NXT kind of, you know, they have to reestablish their stars. I mean, they have Nakamura and Bobby Roode, but the men's division's kind of... you know, the depth isn't the same as it used to be, and that's with the call-ups. But listen, man, we're talking about the guys with the six-packs and stuff like that. I want to tell you what makes me happy here, Sean, that Bray Wyatt and Kevin Owens are the champions on their respective brands, and that Samoa Joe is getting his push, And it makes me want to. It makes me want to join the WWE now, man, because it gives those guys, guys, chances for people to root for. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
Let's talk about Samoa Joe, though.
As a guy who's a little bit overweight and has a beard myself, I'm very happy to see some people that I can identify with.
Exactly. It's the 25 to 55 portly bearded guys that are the demographic that they're going for now.
That's right. We're their target. We should be their main demographic. So they finally clued into that.
How about Samoa Joe, though? I like the interaction that he's had. I like the way he's been brought in, even though he should have made, Roman Reigns, tap out to his maneuver, to his finisher. Your thoughts on Samoa Joe? Could there be something going on between him and Kevin Owens that there might be some kind of fashion going on?
I think they're certainly planting the seeds for it, which I like when they do that. They haven't telegraphed it. That's one of the things we were complaining about with Reigns, right? We know exactly where they're doing. They're shoving it down our throats. With this thing with Triple H, even before the Festival of Friendship scene, Triple H pulled Kevin Owens aside. He's clearly, Samoa Joe's promos talk about how H was the guy that believed in him, so he's going to stick up for Triple H. I think it's clever, and it's one of the things that they always say they want to do when they bring a guy like Joe up is have something for him to do right away. So, maybe his Mania match isn't clear, but he's involved in an interesting angle, a good story. Sami Zayn is great for this kind of stuff because he is the truest babyface on the roster. So give you got a guy who likes to destroy people in Joe and a guy that takes a beating but doesn't quit, Sami. That's a classic wrestling story. So I'm with you. I think this is good stuff right here.
Does Samoa Joe lose any momentum considering the fact that Rollins did get hurt? I mean, pinning with Sami Zayn, I know it's a nice Band-Aid, though, but is right now, are there plans for Samoa Joe kind of alter now since Rollins is on the shelf?
I think it might have actually worked in Joe's favor because, I would be surprised, as with the Strowman-Roman, which I always like to say because it rhymes.
Strowman-Roman.
I'm sure if they did Rollins versus Joe at Fastlane, they would have found a way to, cover for the fact that they were just brought Joe up and he was probably going to lose because I don't think they'd want Rollins to lose that heading into a match with Triple H. But this may work out a little better because I think now he can just continue to look like, the destroyer and not have to take a loss, even a funky one at his first main roster pay-per-view. So I think, it's not ideal. I think it would have been better. The story overall would have flowed smoother had Rollins not been hurt. But I think they've done a good job of covering for it. It may actually end up being a blessing in disguise.
In your gut, do you think Rollins comes back before WrestleMania to face Triple H? Or are they kind of putting all their eggs in one basket, hoping that the torn MCL recovered itself enough that he can go one-on-one with Triple H? Because they've been building this up since the summer with Triple H.
Yeah. I think my gut is that they'll do it. I mean, even if it's close, I think he wants it bad enough. And like you said, this is their longest story, really. Except, Owens Jericho, I guess. But my gut is that he's going to come back on Monday and say he's going to do it. I don't know if that's the right call for a guy that's just coming off a couple of knee procedures, but I think that's what they're going to do.
We'll talk about now with Sean Reuter from KJSeats.com, SB Nation writer extraordinaire.
Ooh, extraordinaire! I like that.
Oh man. Yeah.
You should put that on your resume, Sean.
Hall of Famer in my mind. What to which Hall of Fame I don't know, but the women's division, definitely. I talked to everybody. It's on the rise. We've main evented so many matches, this year and the year before. Not really a big fan of the segment on Raw with all four of them. It sounded too scripted. As much as I like what they do in the ring, I think both three females could really work on their mic skills, really felt scripted. I was talking to Brian before. I think they're a little talking over each other, and I just think it's still, too scripted. Your thoughts, does Charlotte regain her title against Bayley at Fastlane?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, this is where, to me, the worst thing they can do is be predictable. And with the pattern of Charlotte loses on Raw, Charlotte wins it back on the next pay-per-view. That's probably, outside of Roman, that's the most predictable thing they've had going over the last calendar year. So I'm guessing that's what it is. The rumors have been that they're headed towards a four-way at Mania with Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, and Nia Jax, which, again, that's another thing that segment on Monday seemed to telegraph. I agree with you there. I mean, I think that what those women can do in the ring has really changed. It's opened a lot of people's eyes as to what women's wrestling can be, and that's awesome. But the stories have not been there. And I've tried to defend them. It feels like even when I think they're about to do something good, they take one step forward, then they do something like Monday, which I felt not only don't they come across great on the mic, which I think, you know, that they're progressing, and in some cases it even works with their characters, but they're not, that segment didn't make anybody look smarter or, you know, braver or any of the things that you want out of a wrestling character that you would root for. Everybody just sort of looked like they talked themselves into a corner and didn't know how to get out of it. It was kind of mind-boggling to me, because I spent some time the week before defending the decision to put the belt on Bayley to people, and then they just totally left me out there.
Wow.
I would have saved it for Mania, guys. Honestly, I would have saved that for Mania.
What, you would have saved that segment for Mania?
No, I would have saved Bayley winning the title for Mania, at least, you know? Kind of takes a WrestleMania moment away.
But I guess that's still what we're going to get to, but I don't know. It means more in a singles match than it would in a four-way, and, you know, your first title win isn't the same as your second title win.
Well, speaking of the women's division, Sean, I mean, when you watch Raw, you can definitely tell they're playing, you know, hot potato with the title and don't really know where they want to go with it, whether it be Charlotte winning for the, seventh time. And I said it to Jeff, and I was even joking. By the time 2018 rolls around, she might be close to her father's record of being, like, maybe a 12- or 13-time women's champion. So that's no joke. I think that's really going to happen the way they've been playing hot potato with the title. But you look at SmackDown Live, for example, and I think they've done a very good job because, again, they don't have the Sasha Banks, the Charlottes, the Baileys. I mean, they have Becky Lynch, they have Alexa Bliss, who to me is the most underrated performer and was the wild card going in
the draft.
I mean, how do you feel their women's division is doing? Because I think they're progressing storylines a lot better than Raw can. And even when they do promos to one another, they're not stepping over each other like you saw that segment, that brutal segment on Raw.
I think Alexa Bliss is not going to be the most underrated for long. I think a lot of people, she's opened a lot of eyes. She's getting a bit of a, like, an outside of the ring push from WWE. Even though she's a phenomenal heel in the ring, she's also got a really compelling story, like how she got into wrestling, and I think she overcame an eating disorder. I think she's somebody that they're, you know, she's definitely a sleeper. Nobody saw this coming out of the draft. All the focus was on the four horsewomen and all that stuff, but I think Alexa is somebody that's is going to be a major, major star for a long time to come, which is cool. And I think that's something, you know, to the other part of that question, I think that's something that SmackDown in general does better than Raw. They just tell better stories. The women have done that, and they've, even though they only focus on a small number of women, I guess, I mean, I would say it's probably six, maybe seven if you include Maryse. You know, their feuds.
You got to include Maryse. How could you leave Maryse off of anything?
The only reason I say that is because still.
No. We're talking about, you know, the visual ass side of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which isn't a bad thing. But no, you're right. There's so many differences between SmackDown Live and Raw, like you mentioned, Sean. And real quick, before we get to that, because I want to break down a little bit more with that with you, but I mean, move on to the WWE title picture to me with what they're doing now. Last week, they basically had a battle royal because Randy Orton refused to face Bray Wyatt after winning the Royal Rumble. And you kind of scratch your head like, all right, that's kind of different, but actually kind of interesting because we would never expect that to happen. And now we had a battle royal. AJ Styles and Luke Harper go over the top at the same time. Wow. I wonder where they got that from. Talk about doing something original, right? And now we'll face each other next week to see who will be the number one contender to face Bray Wyatt. Right now, scenario, does it look like they're building towards Harper-Wyatt main event? Because if they do, nothing against Harper, but I would be very disappointed. I would actually be more interested watching AJ go up against Bray Wyatt.
My big problem with that finish is they just executed it poorly. They didn't draw it. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, so I'm not going to get too mad at them for doing the Hart Luger thing, but yeah, it makes you roll your eyes a little bit, but I honestly don't know. I think my gut tells me, I think they're going to end up doing a Harper, Wyatt, Orton triple threat. I think, you know, Randy is obviously up to something, probably. I don't think he's actually going to forego his title shot, but it's a great story. It's interesting. I wouldn't be surprised. I wasn't expecting him to come out and, you know, pledge fealty to Bray a couple weeks ago, so I'm not sure exactly where they're going with it. You know, I've also heard, there's a rumor I've heard, I don't know, you know, it could just be like Reddit chatter or something, but that maybe WWE isn't quite sure if they want to put Harper in that main event yet, which is why we get, you know, they're sort of judging crowd reaction and internet response this week to see what people, if people are excited to see Harper go over, if they really want AJ in this match, and maybe they'll call an audible for Mania. So, but I think it's, yeah, like, I think it's an interesting story, the Wyatt family story. That's another long story that they've been telling for a while. Orton and Bray started feuding right after the draft, I think, last summer. So this has been a long form story from them that, that I'm not 100% sure where it's going to go. And that's kind of a nice feeling.
You know, it kind of leaves out, though, the, to me, the wrestler of the year in 2016, and the guy that should be, you know, just the Mr. SmackDown, the face of SmackDown, AJ Styles. It kind of leaves him out of the loop, the title picture. Listen, I know that when you fight Shane McMahon, it's a marquee name. It's a the match that will be up on the card for Mania. But one thing is, AJ Styles is not a spring chicken. He's, you know, you want to see him against the very best. Shane McMahon, if you look, I think there was somebody he hasn't won a match in a long time. Like I say, I'm not going to give the date because I don't want to be inaccurate. But I have no problem. Shane McMahon I get, but I just think that they're wasting a WrestleMania match with AJ Styles, because I think I would love to see him take on a guy like Joe, or even if it's like a somebody else. I just think that AJ Styles should be used better on a WrestleMania card.
I agree with you. I mean, I have defended the Shane booking, which it hasn't even happened yet, but that's another one of those rumors that I was alluding to at the, when we first started talking, that a lot of people are upset about. And a lot of people are really upset about that one. That, for all those reasons, I mean, AJ Styles has just had, you know, if you go back, if you watch any of his Japan stuff, he's just had two of like the better calendar years of any wrestler ever in terms of just being able to deliver different kinds of matches with different kinds of opponents, great character work. He's just, I mean, he's the best in the world right now. So it is, it's a little bit of a downer that he's going to face, you know, somebody who is mostly just known for having matches where he gets one big crazy spot in. And I think I just heard that statistic too. I think he's something like, it's something like he's lost his last 10 pay-per-view matches or something like that. And the story doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Really, I mean, although...
He called him the smart one on Talking Smack, like, last time we called him the smart one. He said he was smarter than Daniel Bryan, so it's going to be funny if Shane costs him.
I wonder if they're not misdirecting us or something, and they're going to, like, call up Nakamura to face Styles or something. That's me wishful thinking, but... It's a nice piece of business for AJ. I mean, there aren't a lot of Shane matches. That's obviously somebody that, you know, a lot of casual fans do tune in. I mean, Shane's return was, you know, amazing in terms of the reaction it got, the traffic we did at our site for it. So that it is a big deal. But and I have confidence that AJ can get a great match out of Shane, which Taker couldn't last year. Or, you know, there aren't a lot of people. I think right now AJ Styles could have a 4-star match with a broomstick, as people say. So.
Oh yeah, and that's better. And that's not even the argument, Sean. I think just the argument is you would like to see him in that title run. Not that it really matters, because in my opinion, I'm the believer, if you're a star, you don't really need the title. That's just really helpful in case if you do want to work positioning wise and storylines. But yeah, I don't need to see AJ in the championship match. It would be nice to, because I'm a huge fan of his. But again, you know, no offense to Shane, but it's more like I want to see him against somebody who I know is going to be, not worrying about, for example, the type of quality of match, but it's going to be a match that I'm going to be looking forward to seeing.
If he was 34, 35, yeah, but I mean, you only have so much time with AJ. You kind of don't want to see a showcase like WrestleMania and him and Shane McMahon. No offense to Shane. I just would like to see him against one of those like dream matches that we all talk about.
Yeah, and Sean brought up the great point too, talking about Nakamura, because we don't know really where he is at this point. I know
not the tapings,
but we most likely he probably will get that rematch at NXT TakeOver Orlando against Bobby Roode. Who knows? WrestleMania is the night right afterwards, so you never know what's going to happen. And even AJ replied back to Shinsuke Nakamura's tweet about, you know, I'll be headlining, and there hasn't been back and forth between social media. I joke with Jeff, how funny would it be if they completely, you know, fooled us and it was Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, but we both know that's not going to happen.
No, I can't even come up with words with that. That would please me. I miss Daniel Bryan a lot, so
that would make it work, right? Because he's attacking Daniel Bryan, saying he doesn't know anything. We always said, like, if he came back to face The Miz, wouldn't make a lot of sense. But if he comes back to face AJ Styles at a WrestleMania, wow. I mean, that to me, that sells the card more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, that would be your headliner. If you put Brock Goldberg on after that, you'd even Vince would lose his job.
Yeah, and Jeff's probably shaking his head, and I'm like, yeah, I can dream. Can I, Jeff? Seriously, I can dream.
Oh, dude, I mean, listen, he says that they won't – I mean, not that it would happen, but I think he – if he ever were to get released or his contract expired, I don't think it would be – if he doesn't have at least one match, you know, just to close out the career. You know what I mean? I just see him wrestling at least one more. Maybe not because he has a kid on the way now, so maybe not, but – I just don't see him like really having a finality or having it end like that, and not having at least one more match outside the WWE.
Maybe he'll, you know, maybe he'll fight Punk in New Japan or something.
Maybe. So tell us more about where we can find your work, Sean.
I mean, mostly I am the, you know, I run CagesideSeats.com with my podcasting partner Gino Marasco. So that's mostly where I'm at. We do the podcast on Tuesdays. It's on, you know, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, all those places. And, you know, you guys get my Twitter out at S1Rude. So that's mostly where you find me.
Because you're a rude guy, Sean? Is that why you have the rude at the end?
You know, it's a joke that goes back to when I was in college so that people wouldn't say Sean Reuter, which we talked about before we got on the air.
Yeah.
It's rude. That's, you know, it's Sean Reuter. Sorry. Yeah. And, you know,
oh, it's, oh, it's that name and Reuter, too.
Reuter is fine with me.
It's Reuter and Reuter, too, the REI. You guys are so confusing with the way that name is. But one time it's Reuter, you know, Reiter. It's crazy, but...
One thing I wanted to ask Sean, though, before we close up, Jeff, is that, you know, we listen to your work and read your articles you put on SB Nation, Sean, and like I said, it's an honor for us to have you on, too, as much as you thank us for thinking about you. But what I wanted to ask you, too, is, like, what really got you into it? Obviously, you're a fan. I was a fan growing up, so was Jeff as a kid. But what part of wrestling or part of for yourself made you think, hey, I want to do this for a living because it's something I enjoy? Was there a particular moment you said, you know, I want to do this? Because I'm passionate about it or something.
This, I mean, I've been a fan for a long time. I think, like a lot of people, Punk's Pipe Bomb promo brought me back in, and that's when I started. I was doing, you know, I was doing the 9-to-5 office thing, and I started. That's one of the great things about SB Nation is they're one of their taglines is, you know, by fans for fans. So I just started submitting some stuff, and just found out, just got to where I was really interested in that kind of pipe bomb stuff. Like, that one of the things that's unique about wrestling is where we play this sort of work or shoot game, like what's real and what's not. There's not really any other, you know, I'm a sports fan, I'm a big nerd, I like comic books and stuff like that. Those things don't have that element that wrestling has, where we have to wonder, like, oh, I read this about behind the scenes, is that playing into this story and that kind of stuff. So that's really... that's always the thing that sort of interests me and that I sort of dig into when I'm writing about it. Is there that element to it? Because that to me is, there's a lot of things that wrestling does great. There's a lot of things it doesn't. But that's the one thing that's really unique to it that really interests me.
Do you think wrestling after the CM Punk pipe bomb still has that element of surprise? Or are you more like me, for example, and I'll admit it, I kind of worry more about how it's getting booked rather than what the outcome's going to be?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, sometimes you see people argue like, well, you shouldn't worry about the booking, just watch it and enjoy it. I think however you want to consume the product is, you know, WWE's happy with that too. So there are times where I pick apart the booking and, you know, worry about if this is best for business, not to use Triple H's catchphrase, but that's, you know, like we were talking about with Owens, like, does this hurt him long term, that kind of stuff. But they still can surprise me. I mean, I knew the Jericho Owens breakup was coming, but the Festival of Friendship shocked me how it happened. I mean, afterwards, I'm like, oh, yeah, I should have seen it coming. But just watching it in the moment, you know, they still surprised me. So it still can. I mean, I feel like it's really special when it surprises me because it only happens a couple times a year. But it can still get me.
See, you know what it is because we're so emotionally – I was emotionally invested in that Festival of Friendship because for a good month and a half or two, I was watching Raw just to see, you know, the crazy antics and shenanigans that they'd be up to over there. And, you know, and then once Jericho – and, you know, can we be honest? Chris Jericho is one of the all-time greats just as far as, like, what he does with everything. And that heartfelt thing that he said before he got, you know, betrayed about saying how this is the best year, you know, being your friend and everything, that all that heartfelt, that it just made it even worse when Kevin Owens did it. And that's when we're happy with the booking. And then when Kevin Owens gives that great promo last week, we're happy with the booking. But then if it's only to put Goldberg over even more, we're mad because we're emotionally invested and we cheer for these guys, especially a guy like Kevin Owens, who a lot of people compare me to, you know what I mean? So you know what I mean? I think that's what it is. I think that's what makes us upset. We're happy with creative one time, but then when they take our guy that we like and put him in a situation where he's not going to, you know, achieve success, or where we think it gets us mad. And I think that's why we're fans of wrestling, because we cheer for certain individuals.
But and just to sort of tie it back in, I mean, that to me is kind of interesting, though, right? Because that's, you're sort of invested in this guy, whatever his real name is, right? You like him, you can relate to him, you followed his journey, but then they did something good in the story that made you really hate him, but now you're mad because they're going to do something, you know, with the way they write the script, that something else changes. There's nothing else like that where you can make different stuff of it. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, WWE can make it really frustrating to watch it that way, but it's just fascinating to me.
I think the easiest thing that we all three of us can agree with is you can never please the wrestling fan. You never can. It'll never happen.
Not all of them, that's for sure.
Not all of them. I mean, we chant "You deserve it," but a lot of people are like, no, he doesn't deserve it. But real quick, Sean, are you going to be making WrestleMania?
I'm not saying that, yep.
Wait, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said there's somebody in that audience or that row at the arena that is not chanting that. Somebody's sitting on his hands going, "Pah."
Exactly. Yeah. And they're all John Cena fans, basically. Yeah. But real quick, Sean, are you gonna be able to make it to WrestleMania in Orlando?
I'm probably going to be working too much to actually go, so I'm not going this year. But I will. I'll be cranking out content about it. I'll definitely be watching it, even though I can't get there live. So.
Well, we'll be down there. We'll have a beer for you. How about that?
All right.
We'll
quit.
And of course, I listened to your podcast on, I think it was Wednesday, and you guys were talking about how you guys are huge fans, and I'm doing quotation air quotes on the theme song for WrestleMania. Give me the green light. So definitely be humming it in your honor.
I haven't been able to get that thing out of my head since.
Oh, no, I just go to Jeff.
After 3 days of covering WWE, I had to watch Raw, SmackDown, and NXT where they're playing that commercial constantly. I finally got out of my head today, and now you guys put it back in.
Sean, give me the green light.
I'm ready to go.
Oh, man, now he's going to be humming it all day tomorrow. Well, hopefully that won't prevent you from coming back on, Sean, because we really love to have you back on. So maybe be humming a different song then.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sean, have a good one, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, give me the green light, Sean.
Give me the green light.
And a special thanks goes out to Sean Ruder. You guys can catch him on CagesideSeats.com as well as SB Nation. You guys can catch him on Twitter and see everything he does at S1Rude. So, Jeff, it was just exciting for him, and unfortunately, he's going to be humming that song until the weeks go by, because there's only...
I should have talked about My House. I should have been like, I wonder how long it took My House to get out of his head.
Well, that's the thing with these theme songs now. We're not huge fans of them. We're not huge fans when they first come out, but...
I hated My House, and then it got in my head when we were there.
Yeah, and it gets catchy, right? And you can't stop humming it. But it was great to have him on, too. Really trying to emphasize the storyline of what's going on. He did shed some light about, obviously, the whole Rock, CM Punk thing. I mean, we both know nobody's going to punch The Rock. He's a Rock, for God's sakes. What are you going to do?
And let's be honest, though, Brian. CM Punk, we've talked about it a lot. He's actually started some of this stuff that we've seen. He's actually been like, you know, although he's not there to enjoy it and reap the benefits, he kind of started this whole new revolution with these guys. You know, you talk about the Balors, the Nevilles, Samoa Joes. You know, I would kind of say that he had a, you know, big hand in all these guys being there.
Yeah, it's like what Sean said. Like, the whole pipe bomb incident brought him back as a fan, because prior to that, it was really difficult to watch it. So, you know, great insight on what might happen with Finn Balor. You know he's come back on TV, or not TV, but he's come back on NXT events. He's going to do some house shows for Raw. But kind of wondering, you know, where he fits in this whole scheme, because, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the nitty-gritty here, Jeff. And there really doesn't seem to be much, so maybe a part return to NXT might be in the works for him. To me, it would make sense, and, you know, it'd be only fair to him because, again, the NXT crowd would welcome him back, and there's no doubt in my mind that he would do very great to help bring that brand even higher than what it really is. So we could see that, the whole Seth Rollins situation, and obviously the concern you and I both have, not just with part-timers, but what's going to happen with this Kevin Owens title reign situation. Is it going to go on Goldberg? Does the Goldberg-Brock Lesnar rivalry really need this? And is it really just kind of opening the door and a launching pad for Roman Reigns right now, who, you know, right now, I don't know what you do with him.
Yeah, well, we'll be interesting to see as fastly and rapidly approaches and then we head into WrestleMania. We'll be on the road to that. And, you know, something interesting, too, on Monday Night Raw, we saw Nia Jax take on, have her usual, we'll call it the squash match, but particularly against Heather Monroe. And we were able to actually catch up with Heather Monroe and just talk about the whole scene. Because not a lot of people can get a chance to only be in the independents for a year and a half and actually be on Raw. So she can check that off the list. So it was good to catch up with Heather Monroe, and her name was actually Sarah Pierce on that show. So we had just talked about everything that came about, and very excited to talk to her.
Yeah,
and
Jeff, because you and I can only have an idea of what it's like to go out there. And you're not an established star in terms of WWE programming. Now, Heather is establishing herself very well and working really hard to make herself a name, but then being on TV is just an added bonus. So the great thing about talking to her and what you guys will listen to in a few seconds here is the feelings and the emotions that go into something like that.
Raw
because
emotions.
The raw emotions, no pun intended, well, maybe, going to an event like that. She's from Los Angeles, and the feeling of going in there live on television, and it was just a great interview with her. She was gracious enough to give us a few minutes of her time because she was training. The woman doesn't stop even after being viciously beaten, but not down. Heather Monroe spoke to us, and I wanted to ask her, what was it like and what happened the whole lead up to when she got the call, and this is what she had to say. All right, Jeff, really excited to have our next guest on, too. And, you know, we're talking about Raw, and, you know, now we're actually talking to somebody who's actually there, too. And we love professional wrestling. We love the indies, he and Jeff, and that's always been a passion of ours. But we're going to speak into Heather Monroe. You guys can catch her on Twitter, at HeatherIsMe. Also, her Instagram, same name as well. You can catch her on Facebook as well. Everything that's coming up to date with what she's doing, you can catch her on there, too. Had a great match with Nia Jax. It wasn't the outcome that you wanted to see, but, again, it was on WTV. And just really glad to have her on. Heather, thank you so much for taking a few minutes of your time. We know you're training. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, better than what you were doing. I mean, it's amazing you're still talking right now. You were thrown from pillar to post. I mean, first and foremost, how was it for you feeling the feeling of actually being on WTV?
It was a really amazing feeling, even if it was what it was, you know, like just a short amount of time, but just being able to be out there at the Staples Center of all places and having like some people that were my fans there and being able to see me was really awesome.
Hey Heather, this is Jeff. How you doing? How did you get the call? What happened? Give us like the full details here. What happened leading up to Monday Night Raw?
Yeah. So you can sign up to be an extra pretty much on Raw. I trained for about a year. I've been wrestling for about a year and a half. And so I've been there before, but didn't really get any opportunities. And then they kind of called us down and were like, hey, we want to watch you wrestle. And then we wrestled, and then they picked me to wrestle her. And it was a really awesome opportunity.
What's really said towards the end? I mean, they pick you, they say, all right, Heather, we want you now to be in this match, which is, you know, basically a squash match. I mean, what's said behind it in terms of you and Nia? Was any communication, listen, this is what we're going to do, in terms of obviously you guys were given a limited amount of time. What discussions were there once you were chosen?
Yeah, you work with the agent, and you do, it's just like you're doing a regular match. I'm completely involved with it, and I mean, I didn't have, like, much of a say, but I was there to, like, you know, help out and do everything. And, yeah, it was just like a regular match.
Heather, how long have you been, doing this? And where do you want to, you know, see yourself eventually down the road with this?
Yeah, I've been actually, like, wrestling out on the scene for about a year and a half. I debuted not this past October, but the one before. And I trained for about a year at Santino Bros out here in Southern California. And I mean, WWE is the main goal. I would absolutely love to at least get a tryout, like really take it all the way and be able to be on television again in under completely different circumstances. And that's the main goal. And I would love to wrestle for Shimmer, Shine, like the main like women's indies places as well are a huge goal of mine.
Well, speaking of those places, too, I mean, I guess NXT, although it's under the WWE brand, would also be something that maybe would spark your interest, too, considering what happens, because their women's division is also in need of major talent. And, you know, seeing a lot of your work and, you know, obviously everybody YouTubes now and Google stuff, too. But I was interested to hear, too, Heather, that, you know, Lita was a big inspiration of yours. I want to get just your perspective on what the times were back then when you saw girls like Trish Stratus, Lita, Victoria, and now where it's moved on now. Do you think now more than ever there's more of an opportunity to showcase your talents, knowing that you're getting your experience in and you've been traveling the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best part now as opposed to then is that it's wrestling-based. Like, back then, even though those women were, like, very good wrestlers, they had more character, and that was about it. They didn't have that time to wrestle. They could still wrestle, but it was more about like, oh, we like these characters, but they're still getting 5-minute matches. And now these women are characters and are getting a lot of time to like be those characters and show what they're capable of. And these girls work really, really hard. Like, even just watching on Raw, like seeing what happened, they work so hard. And they're bringing indie girls in now, so that's like a huge opportunity now, that they're actually like hiring women wrestlers instead of just models and fitness models and that kind of stuff.
Going back to Monday Night, though, just getting the feeling, I mean, this has got to be like a dream come true for you. And like you said, a year and a half training. So a lot of people go maybe, you know, the whole career and not get the opportunity you had. Just the feeling, I mean, you're in Los Angeles Staples Center. Just you walking into the building that day, just give us the emotions. Just what were you feeling, you know, heading there? And then also, right, you know, before you, you know, went out to the Staples Center crowd.
I mean, walking in, it was kind of, I had done it before at Staples Center, and so I kind of wasn't expecting anything. So I kind of went in, and I was like, okay, well, I'll sit in catering. And then after I knew I was going to have a match, I was so anxious and, like, nervous and excited. But as soon as I got in the ring, it was weird. I wasn't nervous at all because it's like, this is what I do, and this is what I want to do. And there were some people that knew me that were, like, right up front. So they were, like, saying my name, and that made me feel good. So it was, like, I kind of felt, like, at ease after the fact. But leading up to it was probably the most nerve-wracking experience.
I can imagine, too. Otherwise, I probably would have just stayed in catering, Jeff, because I've heard some pretty good stories. They have some pretty good food down in catering.
Hey, as long as you make it to catering, I think you can check that off the bucket list, too.
That's all I want. I just want to make it to catering. I don't, you know, if I never step in a ring, then it wasn't meant to be. But, Heather, one thing I wanted to ask you, too, you know, Jeff's asking you what your emotions were when you obviously showed up to the Staples Center, knew you're going to be on, and the anxiousness you had, and then actually being in the ring, it didn't become as nerve-wracking because this is what you do. You know, going to Los Angeles at 22 years old and saying, this is, you know, one of my passions, I really want to do this. I mean, most people at that age don't really know what they want to do. I mean, they're still trying to figure themselves out. What in it particularly was it when you first hit the ropes, when you took your first bump? I mean, what mentally clicked for you saying, hey, this is something I want to do? But what moment can you say, per se, you're like, yes, I made the right decision?
The moment, it's kind of hard to say because wrestling training is really, really hard. And I don't think that people understand how hard it is. And especially where I train at Santino Bros Wrestling, they don't care that you're a woman. They're going to treat you the exact same. You're going to learn everything. You're going to take everything. They don't treat you like you can't handle it. And so it was really, really difficult. But I think the first time that I realized, okay, this was definitely the right decision, was when I got to like do my first training match. And I was like, this is what you work hard for. You know, like, that's the fun part. The like doing a million squats when you show up to class that day isn't fun, but like once you get to like after those million squats and then you get to be in and like be a character and like come up with a match, that's like, you're like, oh, this was worth it.
Yeah, with Heather Monroe, also Sarah Pierce. It was weird, right? They that was your name that they called you on Raw. When did you find out that that's what you're gonna be called?
When I walked to the back and the people that I was there being extras with were like, oh, they called you Sarah Pierce. I was like, cool, okay, that works. I look like a Sarah Pierce, I guess.
you're only in the ring for a few minutes with Nia Jax, but give us maybe like a quick scouting report on her.
Oh man, she's no joke. Like, what you're seeing feels real. You know, like,
yeah.
She goes hard, and she is a straight-up monster. She's really, really rough.
Yeah, but she seems like such a nice person in the world, because Jeff and I, we saw her at Access at a WrestleMania event, and she seems so nice and kind and smiling all over, and then, you know, obviously that bell rings and she's out past that curtain. It's definitely a whole different story, right?
Yeah, definitely. Everything that you saw didn't feel good.
No, that's why we're so thankful that, first of all, you're training, and now you're able to get, you know, gracious with a few minutes of your time, because you are training and trying to get better and better each time, which is obviously the goal, and wanting to get on TV and more exposure. But one thing I also wanted to ask you before we kind of wrap it up, because we don't want to keep it too long. I've always been curious of this. I mean, you made a great point, Heather, where you're like, you know, people don't realize how hard this really is, right? And if it was easy, everybody would do it. Not everybody can. And it's somewhat kind of an unnatural thing, too, of you know, the aspects of learning how to fall. For me, I've always been curious of the physical aspect in terms of the endurance and the training. You just mentioned how you're doing like 1,000 squats in training. Is it more to get your body mentally prepared to deal with the pain as you do during training? Or is it really all those things they do just creates discipline? I mean, I'm always curious because it seems like people always get winded in there and the really good ones don't. I mean, what do you do in terms of exercising to get yourself in the best physical condition you possibly can?
I mean, there's absolutely nothing that can prepare you for being in a match. Nothing you can do that's going to make you not breathe heavy, because it's such a weird thing where you're just stopping and going and stopping and going. So they do the squats and stuff like that mainly for discipline, mainly to weed out people that can't handle it, can't hang. And it's like, you have to be in good physical condition. You have to look good for people to care about you, I think. And so it's like, they want to make you your best athlete by doing that kind of stuff. But what I did before I started wrestling training that I think helped me was doing a lot of like high intensity stop and go sprints, like a lot of stuff like that, that would like the sprints back and forth and that kind of stuff, that's kind of similar to running the ropes and like those kind of things, just like preparing you. But you really can't prepare for the weirdness of a match.
Heather, what do you have coming up on March 17th, 2017? I hear, so you wrestle for the Santino Brothers Wrestling. It's called Look of the Draw. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm wrestling my boyfriend.
Wow.
Oh, wow. So first and foremost, you know, that's going to be awkward in itself for your boyfriend, because, you know, he's in a no-win situation.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. There's tag team partners against each other. There's me and him against each other, and there's more to be drawn, and it's going to be really interesting to see who's going up against who. And before that, I have FSW in Las Vegas this Saturday with him as my tag team partner, so it'll be really interesting.
Wow.
Wait a minute. He's your tag team partner, and now you're going to be going up against him? How does that work?
I know, that's the luck of the draw.
Wow, some draw.
Kind of doing like kind of like Slamboree back in the day, Lethal Lottery. Remember that? I mean, I don't know if you go with like WCW, but yeah, I remember that. So that's pretty good luck of the draw on March 17th. And Heather, thank you so much for joining us. Listen, we'd love to have you back on again, you know, follow up with you, see how you're doing. But again, though, you got something on the resume that, you know, most people wish they had, and that is you can check it off, Monday Night Raw. Best of luck to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we can't wait to see
you
too, whether it be on WWE programming or NXT. We'd love to have you back on sooner than later, Heather, because we know you're busy.
Yeah.
But then you'll be under Heather Monroe. No more Sarah Pierce, because you're not a Sarah Pierce.
I'm not a Sarah Pierce. I'm a Heather Monroe.
Exactly. They will not forget it. Thank you so much, Heather, for your time. And best of luck with training, and hopefully you get through it really well.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Take care. And that was Heather Monroe telling us what it was like to be on Monday Night Raw against Nia Jax. Even though it was a squash match, Bri, she can definitely check off on her resume that she was on Monday Night Raw. How great is that?
It's amazing for the mere fact that this woman has, since the age of 22, wanted to go and do this as a career and to be on WTV. You know, listen, a lot of people say squash matches, and, you know, we don't say that as disrespect. It's just kind of the way the match is designed. But, you know, despite the fact of who came out the victor, Jeff, Nia Jax was the winner. She's a winner in my mind because she did something that not a lot of people say they can do. They went on W programming. And to me, this is only the beginning for her, because we've seen her. We've seen what she's done. I mean, she's a graduate from Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy in Bell Gardens, California. If you want to address, then you know, look it up yourself, you lazy bastards.
In her hometown too, though.
In her hometown, she was getting cheers. People knew who she was in that area. So it's just great to see where she's progressed. And like you said, she was taking a few minutes out of her, some precious moments out of her time training to speak to us. So it just tells you how dedicated she is to it. And to me, honestly, I've seen a lot of her work right now. And I don't think this is the last time we'll be able to see her, because ultimately she wants the WWE. That's a goal. Or NXT. You know, the whole women's revolution is a real thing, and you're seeing more talent put out there. So this is basically just showcasing more talent. And like I said, I don't think it's the last time we'll see Heather. And hopefully she'll go by the name Heather Monroe rather than, you know, her ring name Sarah Pierce, because to me that didn't work. Yeah, she doesn't look like a Sarah Pierce to me, Jeff.
No. It definitely looks like a Heather. So, you know, kudos to her. Hopefully she'll be back on the show, talk about her future.
Yeah, you guys want to follow up on her, you know, catch her on Twitter at HeatherIsMe and on Instagram and Facebook as well. So yeah, everything she's doing coming up right now in terms of the indie promotions, she's definitely staying active.
Brian, great show. We were really active today, man. Two guests, huh? Two for one here on the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. But wow, two guests, huh? Who would have thought?
Who'd have thunk? But again,
who'd have believed it?
Hey, you know, I don't mind talking to you every once in a while, Jeff, when we do discuss things. But to me, it's always nice to have a different perspective of it. You know, not only speaking to Sean.
Talk to each other.
That's true. That's one thing, too. And that's why, you know, I say it's a benefit to have somebody else, because I have to hear somebody who has a better perspective than you do. But more importantly, has that dynamic where, you know, maybe we can see things from a different perspective rather than me just saying you're wrong all the time. And obviously having Heather on as well, it's great because we get to see more of the inside feeling of what it's like. Because, hey, at the end of the day, we're fans, Jeff, right? And we can only imagine what it'd be like to be in the scenario. So to hear Heather come on the show and give us, you know, moments of her time, and hopefully have her on the show sooner than later, both Sean and Heather. It's just great because it gives you that feel and that atmosphere. And plus, like I've said many, many times, Jeff, this is the perfect time to be a fan right now, because things do get pretty exciting. A lot of things do become predictable. I get it. When it comes to scenarios like this, it gets exciting because you don't know where they're going to go. And it's always great to see young talent progress in terms of Heather and Sean. And just a great podcast he does as well. And we're just honored to have him on as well. So, yeah, Jeff, you couldn't ask for anything more. To the road to WrestleMania.
Man. No, man. And, of course, it's not only WWE we're talking about. We're also talking about other promotions. We want to give a shout-out to them. And a lot of great stuff going on in February and as we head to March, of course. Everyone's going to be down there for WrestleMania weekend. But right before February 26th, the cross-promotion between Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling, Honor Rising, Kenny Omega returns. So looking forward to that, man. Can't wait to see Kenny Omega. Teases a little bit during Royal Rumble time, thinking he would have been there, but he returns to New Japan. So it's good to see Kenny Omega back in the ring. And, dude, I got to tell you this. What Culture Pro Wrestling is doing its thing, man. They had a great event last week in England between Alberto El Patron and Kurt Angle, in one of Kurt Angle's final matches that you'll see before he goes to WWE and gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. They got another one coming up March 6th, Exit Wounds, Newcastle, England. You know what the best thing about this is, Brian? It's free on YouTube.
Well, anything free is good, so I'm definitely catching this on YouTube.
Yeah, Drew Galloway defending the WCP title against Will Ospreay. How great is that? And also Cody Rhodes will defend his internet championship there. So that's good. And of course, man, hopefully our future relationship with WrestlePro on March 11th from New Jersey. And also they will be at WrestleCon on March 30th. So, man, we're not just talking about WWE. We're talking about everything and anything professional wrestling. So great for them. And, yeah, just a great show, man. I think we should sign off before we ruin it even, you know. At all.
Well, yeah, if I let you talk any further, you're going to ruin it. But, you know, all those great events and those promotions and are, you know, soon to be, it's not an if, it's when, our partnership with WrestlePro. But again, regardless of that, we're promoting them just because they do put out a lot of great matches. You know, their talent there have a lot of great up-and-comers, and it's just a fun atmosphere to be around. So props goes out to that, and our boy Dave Destruction, all the great and hard work he's done commentating for WrestlePro as well. So can't wait to see what they do in the near future. But we know what the future is for us, Jeff. It's bright, and it's going to be the bright lights of Miami, but Orlando, Florida, because it's going to be enjoyable. We're going to be driving down Miami, all parts of Florida we are going to visit. The Jersey Rain Crew is going to the state of Florida, and I can't wait for it. And like I said, each week that goes by, it builds it up even more and more. So you guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am Brian Berga. We are the Jersey Rain Crew. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, because at the end of this, and listening to all this stuff with just pro wrestling, and the excitement is there, you're going to realize that your life is just...
Too sweet. Give me the green light.
Stop it, Jeff. Stop it.